Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive in the classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Dude, this is one of the most excited, anticipated episodes that I think I've ever had. I'm really, really pumped to cover this one. This is a unique episode. This is going to be a lot of fun. What do you think?
This is one of those, like, I know you were a tape trader. I wasn't. But once the story started coming out on this one, you're like, oh shit, like this is pretty cool. Like, you know, and so to have the opportunity to watch even just a little bit of this match, and it took us a sec to find it on Peacock, but once we got there, we got it. I'm just excited. I have not watched it since the documentary first came out. And so, I'm ready to be sports entertained. Let's do this.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I didn't know about it before. So, until they announced that they were doing this documentary, then I was like, oh, okay. So what's this all about? And then, you know, obviously quickly brushed up on everything.
Well, I was going to say, I think we should take a sec to explain to those that we may have some people out there that still don't know about what this is. And so and we'll talk about it a little bit during the match, but this is one of those matches that for the longest time that we believe that there was no footage of it anywhere. It is a dark match. You'll go through the card and stuff like that, but you know, and I'll talk a little bit about what Tom McGee or who Tom McGee is. But as far as people like were concerned until this documentary came out, like, there was no footage, like it was destroyed, like the match was there and people knew about it, but also like they put this out on the network. It had Tom McGee in it, which, you know, how do you find, like, they know how to find the guy, but who would have even thought he was being billed as the next big person, you know, with up in there with Hogan and stuff like that. So when footage of this came out, and there's still some weird, was it stolen, like a housekeeper, like there's just some weirdness about where the tape came from itself. But once we realized the tape existed, like, and this is why if you search it on Peacock, it's WWE's most infamous lost match, but it's also the Holy Grail, because I've not even seen definitively what the Holy Grail is now of lost kind of footage, but as far as everybody thought, we would never see this match, but here we sit today on a podcast about to talk about it.
Well, I'm pumped to cover it, man. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Get into the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
So, like Jeff said, this is a dark match, and it's a dark match for a wrestling challenge show. So,
yeah,
you'll see this card here in a minute, but we get the Tom McGee and Bret Hart dark match, and then the opening match was Coco Beware defeating Steve Lombardi, otherwise known as the Brooklyn Brawler, Paul Orndorff defeating Tony Parks, Dick Slater defeating Bob Bradley, Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine defeating Jerry Allen and Rick Hunter, Sika defeating Jose Luis Rivera, and in your main event, Davey Boy Smith and Dynamite Kid defeating Rudy Diamond and Steve Regal.
Hell of a card.
That's your show. Fascinating, yeah. Huh?
Yeah, and this one, like, it's weird. So We talked about what the tape is, but like I said, that so Tom McGee, he was at this play or this match taking place at Wrestle Challenge 1986. He was really active between 1985 and 1990, but he didn't like, you're like, well, what happened? We'll talk about it. And so he was a Canadian national powerlifting champion in 1981.
Oh, by the way, this aired on the 19th.
Yes.
So, and they did these six matches. So just for perspective, there was a 45 minute show.
Yes. Yeah. So powerlifting champion in 81 and 82, he placed second in the 1982 World's Strongest Man. I'll just kind of read this. It says, in 1984, McGee competed as a bodybuilder to win the Mr. British Columbia bodybuilding title. McGee also had, and so wrestling for WWF and in Japan, he received acclaim after one of his first matches where on February 22nd, 1986, in the main event of a major All Japan Pro Wrestling show, he took on Riki Chozu. Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter said of his first match, he was the greatest combination of strength and agility the business had ever seen. McGee was eventually given the nickname Mega Man and named third runner up for the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Rookie of the Year in 1986. The Pro Wrestling Illustrated Rookie of the Year winner in 1986, a little, well-known wrestler by the name of Lex Luger. And so, he was signed after kind of all of that to WWF, not long after that. And then facing Bret Hart on this match on, October 7th, airing a little later. And so this was pretty much one of his first matches after signing. Knew that Bret was going to have to carry him in a lot of this way. But according to it's a, one of his first matches after signing with the WWF, impressed WWF chairman Vince McMahon and Pat Patterson, who felt McGee was the next Hulk Hogan. And so Hart was chosen to put over McGee because McMahon was convinced Hart could make McGee look like a star. He also reassured Hart that the match would be untelevised. So at looking at Tom McGee, and when we start this match, he is like a specimen. Like, he is jacked. Like, he looks incredible. He's got the hair. He's got the physique. He's got everything you'd be looking for. And especially like a Hulk Hogan of that time, like this guy could stack up against that. So looking at it, if we all know Vince loves his big beefy men, this is a big beefy man. And so, there's no build because they are literally, getting into it. As we're watching this, I am interested to see how much he's doing versus how much Bret is carrying him. And so that's something I'm going to be looking for as we're watching this one. I don't have anything else unless you got some thoughts here, man, or just, it was this, we'll talk about Meltzer's comments after here. Thoughts, go for it.
No other thoughts, just that, just to kind of give you some perspective here. He was a wrestler for 5 years. He debuted,
I struggled to find this.
I've got it here. So he debuted on or his first match of record was October 28th of 85.
Okay.
And then this would have been October 7th of 86. So he wrestled for about a year before this. Stuff in Canada. I mean, he was tagging with Bruce Hart a few times, wrestled against the Cuban Assassin a lot. Who I think was a jobber. Wrestling through Canada. But he had a minimum of like 40 or 50 matches prior to this Bret Hart match. And then they bring him in for this. This was his first WWF match of any kind. He was beating a guy named Terry Gibbs on house shows, worked a dark match at a Wrestling Challenge pay-per-view against him, wrestled Magnificent Morocco Iron Mike Sharp. Then he goes over to Japan for, God, now we're, I mean, see, now we're in 88. So he's in 88, he's over in Japan. Then he comes back, worked a dark match in 88 with Ted DiBiase in Tampa, and then worked like 8 house shows defeating a guy named Tim Horner. And then after this, he had 2 matches in 1990 in New Zealand, and he's done. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like he didn't wrestle at all. But yeah, nothing seems to stick. So yeah, let's get into the match. And I think we're both going to be watching and providing commentary, and we'll see what happens. Does it live up to the hype of what we thought this thing could be? So we're watching that Holy Grail documentary that's on the network and on Peacock that Jeff described. We're going to hit play at the 19 minute mark. How's that sound, Jeff?
Yeah. And if you're searching for it, don't search Holy Grail for some reason, because it even took you and me a second here. Search like Most Infamous, because that's what it's like technically on Peacock, is WWE's Most Infamous Lost Match. So don't look up Holy Grail, look up that. Yeah. So it's out there though, and it's definitely one to check out. You know, it's a short, I say it's only about 30 minutes here, a little bit more than that, about 40, but yeah, check out the whole thing. You want more of the story, but let's jump right in, man.
All right. It's time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
We're watching a little montage now of him off the top rope doing drop kicks. Managed by Jimmy Hart.
No, I'd see it back again if someone showed it to me.
Did you want to watch it?
Have you got it?
You want to see it?
Yeah. So this is the producers of the documentary asking the two of them, do they want to watch this
again? Coming a mile a minute. From the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, in fact, I think he's on vacation in a hurry.
We're starting in the middle of it.
Tommy McGee thrown off a bridge in Tallahatchie or something like that?
No, I don't think so.
It was Bobby McGee.
So McGee is towering over Bret Hart.
6'4", 275.
He's almost got like a Warriors physique. Like that's
what he looks even like more like athletic than the Warrior, because he doesn't look like bodybuilding.
Jeez. Right. Yep. Absolutely. Flips and somersaults and stuff in the ring. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the fact you have Gorilla and Bobby on commentary too makes it even better.
Well, and you know, you wonder too, like Jimmy Hart is his manager. Like,
yeah, he was managing Bret Hart at the time. I think they, okay. You know, it was just weirdly edited.
Okay. All right. My bad.
Yep. Yeah.
Which doesn't make more sense. Yeah. He's got him kind of tied up now.
Always disrupting and irritating everyone at ringside.
There you go. Bret Hart or Jimmy Hart loud on the microphone.
Yep.
Or megaphone.
Couple arm drags here, kind of working Bret on the mat, kind of taking him over. Did a huge kind of kick over him.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, even though this is a dark match, like, the WWF's production back then, like, you don't appreciate it now because it just like doesn't look good, but like their production was so far ahead of everyone else even then. Like, you see, I mean, this is just like a TV taping, like how well lit everything is, how like good it looks. I mean, this footage is, you know, well, what are we at here? I mean, it's almost 30, you know, 5 years old.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And how often do you see a guy 6'4 doing backflips?
He's doing backflips. Yeah, he's doing all kinds of stuff. Doing huge drop kicks here to Bret. Bret rolling to the outside, pissed off. To this point, I'll say McGee looks good.
Looks great.
It, like, he's out there. He's moving around well. Like, he's, you know, he's kind of, manhandling Bret a little bit. And you're going to, Bret's
getting double birds from a fan over
there. That's great. That kid does not, like, where is his parents? Jesus, he did not look old enough to be doing that shit. Like, just kind of standing tall. Brett selling on the outside here. Yep. Showing a replay of him just doing a huge flip over Brett. Yeah. Hard to deny. Like, he's got the look. Like, he's got, you know, he's out there doing what he needs. We're back in the ring at this point.
Bold move to be wearing red and yellow.
I just had that thought myself, actually. I was looking at those knee pads. They're quite, that was kind of a little off there. Brett working heel in this match, too, to McGee. I do really wonder, like, like, how things would have changed if McGee did take off. Like, you know, going into the WrestleManias and things like that, if he had, you know, WrestleMania 3, if he had a bigger spot, like, God, who knows?
Yeah, it's hard to believe that they couldn't find anything for him.
Well, and you wonder, like, was it truly, like, maybe he was, you know, it just not up to where he needed to be at any point. Even if, like, you know, you can only work so many dark matches, and maybe it was who he was in there with. You got Brett doing a power slam now. I don't know.
He doesn't look too airborne now, does he? No, he doesn't. It looks like the Hindenburg. I tell you, those are extremely high-risk moves that the youngster was doing. And you miss one of those, and it could terminate your career immediately.
Man, just gorilla calling it straight, man. Just treating it like it's a real event.
And I'm wondering, too, so he was born in 58. And so if this was taking place in 86... You know, in his 30s, it just, yeah. No, late 20s. Roll up there. Nope, didn't get him. Brett just kind of working him at this point there. He's, like I said, keeping him on the ground here. As big as he is, too, Brett's manhandling him, too, for the pump handle slam there. Brett looks like little, too. It's weird to say that, but he looks littler compared to when we would normally see him. I see you got a smile on your face over there. What are you thinking?
I mean, how bad could this guy have been that he couldn't get a job during this era? I mean, with all the goofy characters and older, out-of-shape guys, I mean, like, I don't know why.
Reversal. Wow. Oh, full speed ahead.
The classic
hard into the turnbuckle. I think he hurt his neck. His head went back.
I mean, he must have just had a horrible personality.
This is, how do we not get more Tom McGee? But as you sent me the other day, how do we get screenshots of Bobby Salsa over here? Like, you know, which if anybody has any information of where Bobby Salsa is, we want him as a guest on the payoff. Thank you very much. So,
referee right there.
Roll up. Nope, couldn't get him. Yeah, I'm with you. And this was the age of either if you had a job, you could be a wrestler, or if you looked like Bob or Tom McGee, you could be a wrestler. Another roll up here. Got to the ropes, though. Brett did.
There is no record of Bobby Salsa on cagematch.net.
Yeah, you and I both looked.
Oh, you looked too? Okay.
Yeah. He's out there, I'm sure. But yeah, if anybody has information about Bobby Salsa, the wrestler, please let us know.
McGee on the outside now.
Yep, tossing McGee to the outside.
I mean, it's a pretty big crowd for not the greatest card, per se. I mean, certainly there's no Hogan, there's no Savage.
Right, yeah. I did not look to see
Andre, where this was. King Kong, Bundy. I mean, I'm just naming big stars during that era. But, yeah, there's just no, you know.
And this was Rochester, New York, is where they're at.
Got him up, though, over the back. Goes
sunset flip. Oh, he got it. I can't believe it.
Oh, man.
Tremendous upset victory here.
I think here he held it. Tom McGee.
His capacity crowd is on its feet, and rightly so, cheering on this youngster, Tommy McGee. What a tremendous victory over the ring veteran, the Hitman, Bret Hart. Let's go back and take a look at the tremendous move as the referee's getting a whole lot of static. Wow, talk about.
There you go. All right, let's get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
Well,
it's just crazy. That's all I have to say. Like, I'm looking now, like, yeah, so he did wrestle. He did not look bad there to me. Now, granted, we're not in the ring. We don't kind of know what's being said and stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm, you know, it just, it makes no sense why he wasn't a bigger star. There was obviously something holding him back. That was not a bad match. Good on Brett putting him over type thing. And so I, like, from a, you know, you and I, like an armchair perspective, I thought it looked good.
I agree. I really
it was successful in my opinion because of the reason that it flourished at the very beginning.
You're playing something else.
Yeah, I know.
We're WWE.
So
I'm up on a Scott Hall documentary, I think.
I'm looking at this. So I've got, you know, what happened after here, of course. Yeah. I actually found a good listing of some of the matches here. So well, I'll read this. It said Hart in his autobiography actually said, like, he said Hart met with McGee prior to the match to discuss proceedings, informing the prospect that as long as he trusted him, Hart would deliver a good match for him based on McGee's three top moves, which essentially make McGee the focus on Vince's future plans. Hart was able to deliver on his claim, although he was critical of McGee's abilities in the ring, stating that although McGee did follow his instructions, only Hart's carrying prevented McGee's shortcomings from being noticed by the fans. Like I said, we talked about the tape collecting and stuff like that. And so, I'm looking at, so I've got, it's a 1987 listing of Tom McGee, like match, like all of wrestling. And so, like you said, he beat Terry Gibbs, Frenchie Martin, Terry Gibbs, Barry O. The Red Demon. I'm in February now. Red Demon, big tag match there. Like, he never really wrestled anybody. Like, and I'm through like early 1987 now. I guess, you know, him and Terry Gibbs wrestled a lot. But he just never had any matches that, like Jimmy Jack Funk, but he never really wrestled anybody of note. I'm through halfway 1987 at this point, and it just never took off. I see a ton of Terry Gibbs, Tiger Chung Lee. Don't remember that one. Yeah. And I'm back to the start here. So really it's weird how it just never took off. It is an interesting kind of, you know, perspective and snippet in time of someone that you're like, what the hell? Like, you know, it's really, unless you're a true wrestling fan, this is one match that you're like, what the hell? Like, but it is pretty cool to go back and watch that and kind of check it out. Of course, for Brett on the flip side here, he started wrestling Steamboat, which I don't know if I'd ever heard this or kind of what happened here. They actually had a match. It was one of Brett's favorites, him and Steamboat. But the plan actually, and again, this is just, you know, on the internet, what I'm kind of finding, that Steamboat and Brett were actually supposed to have a match at WrestleMania 2. And I in my brain, then I started going like, man, what if that had actually happened? Now, of course, Hart was in the 20-man battle royal, which was won by Andre the Giant. But I thought to myself, like, man, can you imagine if the two of them in WrestleMania 2 had a match? Like, granted, it was all over the place for kind of where they were at and stuff like that. But that would have been like, that would have been crazy.
Yeah, just I'm surprised they couldn't figure out a way to turn him into something.
Just
I wonder if eventually when they found Warrior, they said, hey, I mean the guy looks too much alike him, and you know, Warrior's over and better.
Oh, absolutely. So there's no write-ups on this one. There's no real notes. Like, even PWI didn't really have any rankings on this one. So I guess we can score this one. I don't know what you're feeling or how you even want to score it.
But I'm giving this like a 7 because the documentary is pretty cool. This is so unique, and I really have nothing else to compare it to. Like, there's no other documentary they've ever made on some like lost, you know, dark match stuff. So I think it's pretty cool, man. And like, if you watch that 30 or so minute documentary and watch the match and, you know, learn about this guy and his story, and he's really a nice guy, and you factor in it's also in the ring as one of the all-time greats, I think it's pretty cool, man. So I like it. What about you?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I like the documentary itself is great. It's such a, like I said, it's such a weird kind of snippet of time of kind of like what it is. And so I would recommend going back and watching the whole documentary. The match itself, I'm just going to give like a 5 because it was what it was. You know, it was fine. It was average. Yeah, it just check it out though. This is one I'm glad we talked about it. I'm glad we covered it though, because it is fun. Like, this is wrestling should be fun like this, and kind of digging into some of these stories. And so, you know, because we have my least favorite wrestler next week, I was glad we were able to cover someone this week that we enjoy talking about in a fun match. So yeah.
Well, yeah, I like this, man. I just think it was unique and it was fun and it was cool to explore. So
yep. This is why we enjoy doing the payoff. So, well, I was happy with that. How about we send them home happy today, my friend?
Yeah. If you're looking for some new clothes, I can't recommend our sponsor enough. Just really, really cool stuff. Very affordable. Jeff, you want to walk through some of the stuff you've seen on there? You know, I know I've talked about the puffer jacket. I've talked about how the t-shirts are like $30 a shirt quality, but you can get them for like 10 bucks in a pack when you use our discount code.
There's all kinds of stuff, of course. So we've got our promo code on that one. That is payoff25. That's payoff25, the numbers, that you can kind of find all kinds of good stuff in the store. So it's trueclassictees.com. They've got just a little bit of everything. Maybe you're looking for like polos. I wear a polo to the office most days. And so they got all kinds of good stuff. I like, you know, I know you're quite the golfer. And so I like a golf polo myself to the office, keep it light, stuff like that. Really good stuff, all kinds of different colors, bright colors too, whatever you might be looking for. They got 6-packs, 3-packs. They just got one shirt as well too. Like, whatever you're looking for, like that, it's absolutely worth it. Same with too, like I enjoy myself like a nice jogger pant, nice sweatpants. And so they've got a lot of workout equipment as well too. Like, whatever you might be looking for, the dry shorts for underneath as well too. They just got all kinds of stuff. And so definitely just kind of click through, like, you know, for me, I'm a bigger guy. I go between a 1X and a 2X, like, you know, but I'm not a big guy, but you know, I like, you know, stuff that fits well. I'm a little bit taller. And so having this stuff, it fits right. It fits how it should, you know, you get that sit down stretch, whatever it might be, you know, still looking your best. You don't want to untuck, then you feel weird the rest of the day. And so, you check out their store. Like I said, we're always finding good stuff, and when Tom and I would not be talking about it and trying to tell you guys to use our promo code if we weren't on board with it. So this is one that we are on board with it. Like I said, it's just a good sign that the payoff's growing, the payoff's here to stay, because we got all these vendors using it. trueclassictees.com, using our promo code payoff25, that's payoff25, for 25% off. Tom,
love it, man. We're lucky to have them. We're lucky to have Manscaped. They're both awesome companies. They have great stuff. Check them out. You're also supporting us. We appreciate it. So
yep.
That's all I got, my man.
Send them home happy.
Fun episode. Appreciate the support. We'll see you next week on an all-new episode of The Payoff.